In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Last week's gospel began on a mountaintop with Jesus delivering teachings that are traditionally called the Beatitudes. Things like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And these are familiar words to many of us. And today's gospel picks up right where last week's left off. It's a sequel, you might say. And Jesus jumps from the Beatitudes to these images of being salt and light. With both the Beatitudes and these metaphors of salt and light, Jesus is being descriptive, not prescriptive. In other words, he's talking about how things are, the logic of the reign of God. So he's not saying strive to be salt and light. He's saying this is what you already are by virtue of your identity in Christ. So live into it. In fact, the only thing he cautions is that saltiness can be lost and that light can be obscured. Sometimes in thinking about the Beatitudes and all that follow, it's easy to put the cart before the horse. We can see these as ethical mandates without understanding that all of them are rooted in grace. All of them are talking about a state of being from which all that we do flows. And so we need to discern how to live out of what has already been given to us by God. As one scholar notes, the essence of Jesus' words are not do these good works in order to be blessed. Instead, it's the reverse. You are blessed and made to be a blessing. So go and live out your destiny by doing these good works. To draw from Isaiah's reading, when you do these things, your light breaks forth like the dawn, the light that is already within you. And conversely, acts of oppression, acts of injustice obscure the light. But the light is within because it's given by God. So Jesus is talking about how we can be a blessing to others as an extension of how we are connected to his love. We come to this statement of Jesus, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Over this past weekend, our vestry has been praying together and talking in part about this very passage. And we read a different translation. It's one from The Message. And I'm going to read a section of it to you because we reflected on it together and I thought I would share it. And it gives you a different sense of this passage. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. What jumped out to me as we read this reading together was this statement of that Jesus has made us light bearers. That's a gift that is given. And like light, like a light bulb in a lamp, the problem isn't the light sometimes, it's what accrues on it. I don't know, have you ever wiped off a light bulb and realized how dusty it is and how much brighter the room gets when you clean the light bulbs? Has anyone else had that experience, or are you all like perfect housekeepers? Okay, all right. So you know what I'm talking about with that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Let the light happen. Let your connection to God and the way that it shows up in your life be visible. Let your life throw light on the God colors in the world, in your relationships, in everyday habits, in how you speak, in how you drive, in how you engage your workplace and tend to your family. Jesus is calling all of us to be who we are by virtue of our baptismal identity, which we renewed together a few weeks ago. And that is an identity which is always roomy enough for us to grow into further. And part of our growth in being light in the world is in being more aware of all the things that accrue on us that obstruct Christ's light within us, the dust on our inner light bulbs, the grime that accrues on the windows of our soul that can dim the light that Jesus has given us. This can be so many things. It can be anger. It can be despair. It can be just getting worn down. It can be boredom or cynicism. And clearing these away can be a vulnerable and difficult process of really honestly acknowledging these things before God, knowing that this is not about judgment, that we can bring these things before God and be held in God's love and transformed. But we have to pay attention to the things that get in the way and that obscure our identity as light bearers, as those who can refract the light of Christ to the world around us. In order to let our light shine, we have to know how to tend it. One of the best essays I've ever read about cultivating the light of faith in our lives and gently acknowledging the challenges of this journey is a short one called Of Wood Stoves, Burnout, and the Living Flame of Love. And it's written by the spiritual director, Deborah Smith Douglas. And she tells this story of going on retreat in deep winter at a monastery in the Midwest, in which she stayed in a cabin equipped only with a wood-burning stove as the sole heat source. Burr. And much of her retreat was shaped by her experience of tending the fire in this wood stove. And she reflects that the mindful, disciplined, constant care of a stove began to emerge as a sustaining metaphor, not only for my retreat, but also for a life of Christian faith. Sometimes she would get driven by anxiety and frustration and cold and just loaded up with the logs, and in her fierce determination to keep it going would overload and fuss too much. And then exhaustion would set in, and sometimes she would just give up in despair and shrug and resignedly let the tiresome thing go out, especially at 2 a.m. In the end, she learned that fussing is not much good, nor frenzied arranging the wood and blowing on the fire, trying by main force to keep enthusiasm high. And she learned that patience and humility and trust were the qualities that she needed to keep the flame alive, both literally and figuratively. And there's so much about this that applies to the life of faith. Sometimes we can try to do too much and kind of summon up an enthusiasm that we think reflects spirituality because we just want to do something right. And other times we have no idea what to do. And we can feel like we can just get stuck in apathy. And so our lives of faith need to kind of walk this middle line of tending in order for us to be able to embody Jesus' love to the world around us. And this is about everyday pacing rather than melodramatic gestures. It's tending the wood stove by giving it a steady stream of fuel. And so tending the light of our spiritual lives starts with the patience and humility and trust that we cultivate within our own lives of prayer. What does this look like for you? It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but what are your ways of tending the light of your faith? One way of praying is to ask God to help you see what is yours to do. For that matter, another way of praying is to ask God for the freedom and discernment and humility to know what isn't yours to do. And both of these questions involve a lot of trust in inviting God into our lives and the humility to recognize both our gifts and our limitations. As we move through our daily lives, we can prayerfully ask, who is in my circle of influence that needs my love and compassion and advocacy or encouragement? What do I have the power to do and to change that is an extension of my identity in Christ? This is an important reflection to make, especially when things feel overwhelming, when we're confronted with challenges in our political life that are intractable sometimes and feel very chaotic. When we face a diagnosis in our own lives or in the lives of loved ones that changes what we thought life would look like. Or when we are just carrying on and life feels pretty normal. Even in the midst of our everyday routines, we can discern ways that we can be a blessing to others, that we can continue to refract the light of Christ, God colors, as the message put it. We can allow the light of Christ to shine through us. Light is not created without energy. And the light of our own spiritual lives is not created without the energy of God's love and grace and a commitment from us to first be renewed and transformed by God's love. And we can then make space for Christ's light to shine through us. As we do this, light has a way of making its own path. Anyone who's tried to read under the covers may know this. When you get caught, light has a way of revealing and illuminating through barriers of hopelessness and despair, drawing others in ways that are unpredictable even as they are enlightening. And we get to be part of this miracle in the fullest of ways simply by drawing close to God and then being ourselves, recognizing that God is always at work in us, among us, in spite of us, and through us. Because God's mercy is inexhaustible, and God's light never fades. Amen.